Good evening. First, I'd like to express my thanks for the opportunity to speak to you this evening and welcome our visitors. We appreciate you coming to worship and meet with us. We had a good lesson this morning from Yusuf, and we didn't discuss our lessons in advance, but the lesson tonight is going to work well with what we learned this morning about having passion. One quick note from this morning. I was at lunch with my wife, Debbie, and my son, Zach, and Will, and my daughter, Morgan, and we started talking about the lessons this morning, their Bible classes, and so forth, and I made a comment this morning that I was preaching tonight, and, you know, that they needed to pay attention, and and Will's question to me was that the more he listens, the faster church goes by, so I told him, maybe that's the case, so maybe he'll be listening hard tonight. You know, when Mike and Jim mentioned to me that there's an opportunity to preach, I'll be honest with you, I thought that maybe it'd be better for someone else and, you know, I would just take a back seat. But when I reflected on that and I thought to myself that I'm more comfortable speaking in a work setting, whether it be in a staff meeting or presenting something or in a board meeting, I thought to myself, that's probably not the case because, you know, there's few things that should be more important than speaking from the Word to my brothers and sisters here. The title of the sermon tonight is Redeeming the Time. I'm going to be providing some views of how we utilize our time and set priorities. Just to fill in the blank from Yusuf's sermon this morning, as many of you know, I'm an accountant, I'm a CPA, and I work at an oil and gas company downtown as a controller. However, previously I worked in public accounting for over 13 years. And when I was in public accounting, I'll tell you that the use of time and my view of times was different than probably how it should be. It gave me a perspective of time that's really not realistic. I was in charge of a large audit, and those who I supervised and the clients were billed on an hourly basis, which means everything, the hour is what mattered. People were measured by hours, performance was measured by hours, and, you know, to be honest, when I needed people, I just filled hours. And so that mindset is something that we really need to get away from. And, you know, Debbie, I'm sure, can give you many examples how a focus on time by itself is not, it leads you to priorities that are not what they should be. I want to acknowledge that we're all busy, and being busy is not necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, managing time is one of the things that I've struggled with in the past, and I continue to struggle with, and we're going to talk about prioritizing time. And even in the audience here, we can acknowledge there's various stages in life. You know, we have students, we have young couples, we have older couples, we have retired people, we have widows. You know, but how we manage our time is important in all phases of our life. And as I work to serve and live my life as a Christian, a husband, a father, a provider for my family, I was a coach, not like Yusuf professionally, but I did coach a group of boys from the first grade to the sixth grade, which was rewarding, but I'm glad to be retired now. but many times I found myself making decisions based on my view of time or my perspective of the time that I had available. And you can use time as an excuse when you get into that mindset. And some of the phrases that we hear every day are, I'm sorry, but I don't have the time, I'm running short on time, or I should have more time tomorrow, next week, or et cetera. So we all know that we have demands of our time and resources. And this evening, I want to provide some biblical views on the use of time, some reminders and some areas of focus as we strive to be good stewards of our time, as well as good stewards of the other talents and resources that the Lord has blessed us with. So first, let's start by acknowledging that the world's view of time is often different than that we should have as a Christian. I use the example of public accounting where everything was measured by the hour. Another way we can see this quickly is by looking at just the titles of some songs. And I'm not judging or saying these songs are right or wrong, but just want to use these as a baseline as we get to start to look at how time is described in the scriptures. Time is on my side by the Rolling Stones, Time of My Life, Any Time at All by the Beatles, Time's a Wasting by Johnny Cash, Killing Time. Another example is a popular phrase that summarizes a worldly view of time, and it's carpe diem. Many of you have heard this. It's from a poem written in Latin by Horace, which was written before the birth of Christ. It is generally translated as seize the day. And I'm by no means a Greek or Latin scholar, but with some research I found that a more accurate translation of carpe diem is enjoy the day or pluck the day as it is ripe. The point of that poem is that a person does not know what the future holds, so we should make the most of what the person has at the moment. We see this worldly viewpoint in so many places in our society, and we should be cautious of this as we should be focused on putting the needs of others in front of our own. For a Christian, it's not so much that the future is uncertain. We should all have the same goal to live as faithful, obedient servants. It's that we don't know how much time we have. That is, how much time in this life and earth we have. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. So now let's talk about redeeming the time. Zach read the scripture from Ephesians. You see that same phrase in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5. Walk in wisdom towards those that are outside, redeeming the time. So what does redeeming the time mean? For perspective, let's look at some other translations focusing on verse 16. So in the New American Standard Version, making the most of your time because the days are evil. The NIV in verse 16, this is Ephesians 5, verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And the English Standard Version, verse 16, says making the best use of time because the days are evil. I think that some of the other translations lose an interesting flavor, the King James Version using redeeming the time, but I think that the other versions also make it very clear to us that the type of time that it's referring to. So why does the King James use the word redeem? Again, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I think in this case it's helpful to look at the meanings of some of the Greek words. The Greek word used for redeem is exgerazo, which comes from two Greek words, ek, which means from or out of, and agrazavo, meaning to purchase. So this phrase, or this word, is mentioned four times in the Bible. We've already looked at the two in Ephesians and Colossians, and the other two are Galatians 3:13, where Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and Galatians 4:5, so that he might redeem those who are under the law. So this is a marketplace term. When you redeem someone or something, just as Christ redeemed us, you are purchasing them, paying the price, taking them out of a situation. So what is being referred to in Ephesians 5:16 and Colossians 4:5 in terms of time is the Greek word keros. And this is not any specific idea of time. Keros is not about minutes and seconds or wristwatches and sundials. It's not about a specific flow of time or a measurement of time. Keros carries with it the idea of the right time, the idea of a predetermined time or an opportune time. So if you said, how much time before lunch, that's not the use of keros. It would be more like, is it time to have lunch? One is speaking of minutes and seconds, and the other is speaking of a point in time. Keros doesn't have to be an instant. Keros could be a short window of time, such as it's time to take a break, or it could be a longer window, such as harvest time. And in the examples, keros is the time that action needs to take place. You know, in the example of the harvest time, the crops aren't going to harvest themselves. So it's the appointed time, the proper time, or the slice of time that you have an opportunity, but the kairos opportunity will eventually go away. So to redeem the time, in Greek, ex gravo the kairos, you are purchasing the fleeting opportunities that are, you're presented with. In other words, from the NIV and the New American Standard, you make the most of every opportunity or make the most of your time. So now let's talk about why we must redeem the time. So why did Paul, in this writing, use the word redeem? He could have used utilize or seize. And I think it has to do with the imagery of purchasing. So let's look at the next phrase from Paul in Ephesians 5:15 and 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I think because is very important in this passage, because that's why we're redeeming the time. The fact that the days are evil, Paul says, should lead us to be redeeming the time. When Paul looked at the world, he saw that he was living, just as we are today, in evil times. Impurity, greed, idolatry, disgusting sins of all types surrounded Paul, then just as they surround us today. So pervasive is the evil that the days of these days that our opportunities to do good in terms of time, our kairos, will slip away and be consumed by darkness unless we act. It's as if we have to rescue or redeem these opportunities from the clutches of an evil, these opportunities. And through Christ, redeeming the time is possible. So with that, I would ask a question. Should we be proactive or reactive in terms of redeeming the time? In many of today's business books, being reactive is often despised and talking down of. We're told that being proactive is the best course of action. But which is a better model for effective time stewardship? So one example is a horse with blinders who plows the ground hours of every day. That's good and it's working hard, but he's not noticing what's going on around him. Another example would be a hawk who has sharp senses and scanning the area for an opportunity. In our zeal to be good stewards of our time, we can miss the wisdom of the Bible. We can end up running headlong down a path that we think is correct, but we can get further away from where we should be. Such is the case with chronos and kairos. Both Greek words mean time, but they imply different things. As I mentioned earlier, chronos refers to minutes and seconds. It refers to a measurable resource of time. However, kairos is the word used in Ephesians 5:16, and kairos is an appointed time or an opportune moment or a due season. So we tend to think of our time with the chronos mindset. 24 hours in a day. We define our work weeks and the number of hours that we work. We have a listing of things that we need to do and only so much time to get things done. And being conscious of our minutes and seconds is a good thing. We should number our days, as the scriptures say. Our time on this earth is so brief, we want to be good stewards of every second that we have to glorify God on this earth. And the Bible repeatedly confronts us with the reality of our own deaths. Such as in Psalms 103:15, and I'm going to read 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is like grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. James 4:14, which I quoted earlier, compares us to a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I think there's something inherently sobering when we think about our own deaths. It's somewhat of an unpleasant experience. But I think from God's standpoint, being reminded of our death is ultimately to our benefit. Psalm 90, verses 9 through 12, is a plea to God. So teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. So when we number our days and remember our death, it's for a reason. that we may get a heart of wisdom, that we may acquire a thinking that views the world around us with an eternal perspective. The challenge is that with this mindset, we can miss what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5. Paul instructs us to redeem the kairos, to pay attention and take advantage of the opportunities and seasons. So now let's talk about how we look for these opportunities. We only have a brief opportunity to shepherd our kids when they're still young. We've been in Katy for over 9 years now, and we've been blessed that many of you have taken the time and effort to teach our children. And I can remember vividly when we were moved here, Zach and Morgan were 2 and 3. And if you look at it this way, in another 9 years, they will, Lord willing, be out of, graduated from high school, and, you know, we'll be in different phase of our lives. And this is one of those windows of opportunity. Once our children are grown, we will no longer have as great of an opportunity to instill the Christian values and virtues and teach them the way they should go, as the scriptures state. Another example is when a friend is experiencing pain. When we have a friend in need or we see an opportunity, a lot of times that's something that is very specific and it happens at an opportune time, but we have to work to identify and respond to those opportunities. So to change our mindset, we must make a mental shift. Instead of looking at our time as grains of sand slipping through an hourglass, we should look at our time as opportunities that are passing us by. We should realize that not every second has the same worth. This is, again, something that I've struggled with, and I attribute it to my time in public accounting, but I have a tendency to place a value on my time, and I think we all can do that in certain situations. And I think that's, you know, obviously a worldly view of time and something that we should get away from. And I remember a specific example of when I came home and I told Debbie, you know, I got a promotion at work or something, so I tell her what my new billing rate is, and she just said, anybody's crazy if they're going to pay you that much an hour. But, you know, the one thing that I can take away with that is we need to be at times reminded of what is important, and I guarantee you how much my billing rate was at the time is not important in the big scheme of things. As we strive to be good stewards over time, we should focus and think of how we should live our lives as Christian, and we should first acknowledge that it is not our time. It is a time that our Lord has given us, just as he blessed us in so many other ways. I mentioned that some moments are more valuable than other moments. An example of this is the 5 minutes that I spend sorting through emails is not as valuable as if I have those 5 minutes as an opportunity to teach someone the gospel. We all have to take advantage of our opportunities, and we should look for ways to serve others and give our time to assist those in need. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Here we must change our view of what effectiveness really is. We want to use our minutes and seconds wisely, and biblical effectiveness is not necessarily us ramming as much as we can into 24 hours. It's not us putting our head down and plowing the field as much vigor as we can muster. We have to maintain the appropriate balance and be on the lookout for the opportunities that we have. The effective steward realizes this and is in a position to act and respond to those opportunities. And the effective steward has organized a schedule in a way that leaves him open to seizing these opportunities. So let's talk about prioritizing our time. Again, this is another very popular topic in today's business world. There are many books and classes related to managing time, increasing productivity, leadership, and multitasking. And I have a book here that one of the partners that I used to work for gave me. It's called Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. And I'll leave this if anybody wants to see it. I did not get this done. I did not spend the time and read that book. However, I did read a book called Death by Meeting, because I was pretty sure that I was being cruel and unusually punished by all the meetings that I was having to attend. So that's a matter of priorities, right? We set our priorities each day and we respond to things. We need to have the proper mindset and look at where we're spending our time. You know, I think we all know that we can assess what's important to us by how we look and evaluate how we spend our time. One of the things that Debbie and I have done is we've developed a practice where we meet and discuss our commitments and our responsibilities, because everybody knows we can get pulled in different directions. And, at times you need to make some adjustments and put thoughtful consideration into where you're spending your time and what you're doing. Matthew 6, 9 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and dust destroy, whereby thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor dust rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We also know that the beautiful words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that there's a time for all things. This is one of the things that my mother taught me early, and, you know, honestly, I use that with my children to this day, that there's a time for this and that and so forth. And we heard from Jeremy Sprott last week that we're not guaranteed an easy life or a life without trials, tribulations, and challenges. I'm going to read from Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Earlier I mentioned some excuses that we often hear related to time. I believe that we all have the opportunities and ways we can find time to focus on things that matter. One example is this. About two and a half years ago when I took the job downtown, I found myself with an hour and a half or 2 hour commute each day. And, you know, I got tired of listening to talk radio. But I saw an opportunity, and now almost daily I listen to the Bible. The New Testament is about 20 hours long, and it does not take long to listen to the Bible while you're sitting in traffic in Houston. So I think I'm going to mention again that it's important to periodically assess and review how we're utilizing our time. When I talked about how Debbie and I meet and go over things, what I failed to mention is there's been times we've committed ourselves to so many things, you can't possibly do what you've committed to or what you think you need to get done. And those are the times that you need to make an adjustment, or actually before you get into that situation, identify those and make the adjustment. We need to spend our time and focus on things that matter. And I think as it relates to the church here at West Park, we have an opportunity here to be part of something great. There's been a lot of work and effort in the last few months, and a good deal has been accomplished in a short amount of time. However, we're just beginning, and Lord willing, we have much more to accomplish. So I'm going to make three quick points on how we should use our time. The first point I'm going to make is that we should be diligent. I would say that I learned this from my father in the value of hard work. He taught me at a young age that whatever you do, you should work hard. And honestly, those lessons that I learned early in life are something that I carry with me today. I'll just say that making a living and raising a family in West Texas as a farmer and rancher can be difficult. Let me read from Proverbs several verses about working hard. Proverbs 10:4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Proverbs 27:23. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. And in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 2:15, we're all familiar with this passage. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My point here is fairly simple. We know the type of work that we need to be doing as Christians, and we should work diligently on our path. The second point I'll make here is we should look ahead. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So forgetting those things that are behind. One of the things my brother and I like to do when we have the opportunity is take our cars to the racetrack. And I can tell you that one thing that you can do on the racetrack that'll cause you problems is looking behind, because you'll lose your line and you lose your path. So looking ahead is important. And, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge that we can learn from mistakes, and learning from the mistakes of others is important, but our focus should be on what's ahead of us, and we should focus our actions and efforts on things that are bringing us closer to the Lord. The third point that I'll make here is we need to be meditating on the right things. I'm going to read from Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. To me, this is pretty clear guidance on where we should be spending our efforts and resources. And the last point that I'll make tonight is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We know this from Matthew 4:17, and I'm going to read from Mark 13, verses 32 and 33. But of the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. And with that, I've used my planned time for tonight. I challenge each of you to redeem the time and look for opportunities to serve others and reach others. And if there's anything we could do, if anybody needs to respond to the gospel and be baptized, or if anyone needs to come forward and ask for the prayers of the church, please do so.